is beginning to rain, rain, rain to the voice of our Father. Saying, whosoever will come drink of this water, I promise to pour my spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look up to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, inviting you to worship with us today at Bible Home Church, coming to you from Austin, Texas.
Hello, friends. This is Jerry Barrett, the pastor's assistant here at Bible Home Church. Please remember that Bible Home Church operates solely through your love gifts, tithes, and offerings. You can mail a check or money order to Bible Home Church, 1708 Patterson Road, Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733, or you can donate through PayPal on our website. Don't forget to send in your prayer requests as well. We will be happy to add you to our prayer list, and we greatly appreciate your prayers for us. This week, we will begin a new series, The Shocking Truth About Jesus Christ. We pray that you will receive a blessing from Pastor Mars's message. Up next is Sonia Isaacs-Yeary with Down to the River to Pray, after which we will begin Pastor Mars's sermon.
As I went down in the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear a starry crown, good Lord, show me the way. Oh, sisters, let's go down, come on down, come on down. Oh, sisters, let's go down, down in the river to pray. As I went down in the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the robe and crown, good Lord, show me. Oh, brothers, let's go down, come on down, come on down. Oh, brothers, let's go down, down in the river to pray. As I went down in the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear a starry crown, good Lord, show me the way. Oh, fathers, let's go down, come on down, come on down. Oh, fathers, let's go down, down in the river to pray. As I went down in the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the robe and crown, good Lord, show me the way. Oh, mothers, let's go down, come on down, don't you want to go down? Come on, mothers, let's go down, down in the river to pray. As I went down in the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the starry crown, good Lord, show me the way. Oh, sinners, let's go down, come on down, come on down. Oh, sinners, let's go down, down in the river to pray. As I went down in the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the robe and crown, good Lord, show me the way.
Well, today I'm going to talk about my favorite subject of all time. That's right. This is my favorite topic ever. And what is the topic? Well, it's about my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That is my favorite topic. But listen now, hear this, my friends. This is going to be a different Jesus than the world will tell you about. I'm going to tell you about a man who, well, obviously, he's a very dangerous criminal. He's a person that, well, if we just follow federal government guidelines, he's somebody to be avoided at all cost. He's a dangerous man into all kinds of mischief. In fact, this Jesus, now this is the shocking truth, but I'm here to tell you he is extremely politically incorrect. Yes, this is a Jesus that the Presbyterians and the Methodists and the Baptists and the Pentecostals and the Catholics and the Lutherans and Episcopals, it doesn't matter, none of them want you to know about. It's certainly a Jesus that Pope John Paul II doesn't know, nor does President George W. Bush. And I just feel like it's my responsibility to let you know about him. There's a possibility if you do believe and worship this Jesus, you could be worshiping the wrong man. And I just want to let you know that there is another Jesus. Now, I don't believe in this other Jesus myself. He's talked about in Galatians chapter 1. And Paul said, if you believe in him, you believe in a cursed Jesus. And then in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 4, Paul said there is another Jesus, but also another gospel. You see, the other gospel that's discussed there in Corinthians and Galatians is cursed by God. Now, I'm going to tell you right up front, I believe. In fact, I say, praise the Lord for this politically incorrect Jesus. He's the one I worship. And I guess that stamps me as a different kind of a character than most of the pastors of this world. In fact, I don't know but a small handful that believe like I do. That's right. I believe 100% in this politically incorrect Jesus, the one the world doesn't want to recognize, the one that they would love to crucify if he were to come again in the flesh. You say they wouldn't do that. Oh, yes, they would. I mean, when you find out what kind of man this really is, the whole world would want to get rid of him. In fact, Revelation says he's going to send two witnesses in the last days, and the whole world is going to be so angry they're going to kill his two witnesses. Basically spit on and revile their bodies as they lie in the street of Jerusalem. And then the whole world, everybody in the world is going to turn around and give each other gifts, presents. There's going to be a world festival, a holiday to celebrate the killing, the murder of Jesus' two witnesses. Now, if they would do that to his two witnesses, can you imagine what they would do that to Jesus himself if he came back in the flesh? Even if they say, no, we wouldn't do that, why, we're all people of harmony and love and peace. Don't believe them. When they find out this Jesus, the real Jesus, is politically incorrect, they're going to want to kill him. And let me tell you something, if you go out there and tell people you believe in this politically incorrect Jesus that I'm going to describe to you in the moment, they might just want to kill you too. You better be careful. Now, I propose, though, if you really want to be a troublemaker, sort of like Jeremiah and Elijah and John the Baptist and so forth, you can tell people about this politically incorrect Jesus. They won't believe it. They'll say, well, I never heard this. I've sat in the pulpit of my Presbyterian or Lutheran or Episcopal church or whatever for years. I've never heard about this man. But it's all right there. You see, most of the pastors don't go to this book I have in my hand called the Holy Bible.
That's where it describes this politically incorrect Jesus. They just make up stories that aren't even true about him and preach little homilies to people. Well, I went to the actual source itself. I went to the book that this Jesus wrote. Jesus cannot deny. In fact, I know for certain he would never deny what he wrote in his book. So don't listen to the pastors. Don't listen to the televangelists. Let's find out what Jesus wrote. Now, I want to describe to you, I'm going to sort of take, oh, I don't like to take this kind of angle, but I'm sort of going to be like the devil's advocate. I'm going to sort of let you know what the world would have to say about this Jesus, this shockingly politically incorrect Jesus. You're going to find out what a big troublemaker and a monster he is, according to the world. You see, I believe if Jesus Christ came back in the flesh today and allowed it, because he's God, he obviously no one can overcome him, even temporarily, unless he allows it. But if he allowed it, he would be hounded, harassed, vilified, bullied, arrested, convicted, and no doubt crucified because he's so extremely politically incorrect. He would be in violation if he started up his ministry again and operated the way he did the first time. He would be in violation of environmental laws, public policy favoring homosexuals, IRS rules regarding tax-exempt religious groups, weapons laws. He'd be hated because of his bias against homosexuals and his preaching against pro-abortion child killers. He'd be arrested for violating mortuary regulations, for counterfeiting money, for harming animals, for defying wage waiver laws, for using public lands without a permit, for practicing medicine without a license, for producing wine without a permit, for minting his own money. He'd be branded an intolerant bigot, brought up on hate crimes, accused by the media of being anti-government, laughed at as a conspiracy theorist. He'd be labeled a potentially violent militia leader, charged as an illegal alien, and deemed a threat to families. And I hadn't even started yet. And I can document everything that I said. I have a special interest in this politically incorrect Jesus, you see, because my ministry has been vilified, hounded, harassed, and threatened for a number of years by the federal authorities and the others. We were audited for 4 years in a row by the IRS because we're politically incorrect. It ended up with us not owing 1 cent. I mean, all we had to spend was thousands of dollars for lawyers and attorneys, but and for accountants. But it ended up with the IRS not getting 1 cent from us and being forced to restore our tax-exempt status, which we promptly told them we didn't want anyway. Not after what they did, what they can do. We don't want to be tax-exempt. We want to be politically incorrect. I want to worship the politically incorrect Jesus and keep my integrity. And then we bought a piece of land to build a new office building on it. We needed some more office space for the ministry. And the city and the federal government told us we couldn't because of some endangered species habitat they found on that. Well, actually, they didn't find any on it, but they said some bird might light on that land, might fly for miles away and land on it. So they wouldn't let us build. So we were hounded and harassed, you know, for environmental reasons. Everywhere we turn, it seems to be we're harassed today. But we don't complain too much. I mean, think of what they would do to Jesus if he were to return. What they're doing to us is almost nothing, but it'll get worse in time. Now listen to me very carefully. Let me read to you 2 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning with verse 3. It says, "But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguile Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which you have not accepted, ye might well bear with him." What is Paul saying there? He says, retain the simplicity of the gospel. And he says, there will be some who will come and preach another Jesus, another spirit, another gospel. And he recommends you bear with them, meaning dispute with them, argue with them. Tell them, no, we're not going to accept another Jesus. Today I'm going to tell you about the real Jesus and all the reasons why the world would hate such a man as this. But all the more so, my friends, why we should cleave to him. First of all, now again, it's going to be sort of like a devil's advocate thing here. I'm going to tell you all the reasons why Jesus is so terribly politically incorrect. And I suspect most of you have never heard of these things, but listen very closely. First of all, Jesus' ministry. Let's just assume now that Jesus came back and he operated the same kind of ministry that he had back 2,000 years ago. First of all, his ministry could not be 501c3 tax exempt. Couldn't be approved by the IRS because he opposes public policy. For one thing, divorce is legal. He opposes divorce. He opposes homosexuality. And the gay agenda is the biggest thing since sliced salami in Washington today. Jesus' ministry was not registered as a charity. It wasn't performing in accordance with 501c3 rules about charity. Look at some of the things they said about Jesus' ministry and what the IRS and the media could say today. They'd have a field day. For example, Jesus' treasurer was Judas. He was said to be an embezzler. Boy, they could really write up a story on that, couldn't they? And remember that instance in the Bible when a woman bent down on her knees and took an expensive bottle of perfume or ointment from an alabaster box and poured it out on Jesus. And then his disciples complained. They said, we could have taken the money for that. It was so expensive and given it to the poor. But Jesus rebuked him and said, the poor will always be with you. Oh, my. You know, it seems to me, wow, Jesus, the money of his organization was not being used for charitable purpose, but you're being used for his own private interest. And he doesn't seem to be in sympathy with the poor. He says, the poor will always be with you. Now, here's another instance why Jesus' ministry could not receive 501c3 approval from the IRS and be a tax-exempt organization. Do you remember he talked about the widow who gave a mite? She gave everything she had. All she had was a mite. Jesus praised her. Well, now, you know what the world would say about that? He was just trying to rob little old widows. He took their last mite. He said it was more desirable than contributions from the rich. What a mean man. And you know, there were some suspicious activities right from the beginning. A devil's advocate would say, after all, isn't it true? Right there in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 1, it says Jesus had some aliases. Did you know that? I mean, anybody that has an alias, you have to look out for them. Like Jesus said that he was called Emmanuel? Wow. Aliases. Sounds like a dangerous man, doesn't it? Listen to this. He obviously told people to take things without paying. Let me just read to you. He read from Isaiah, it says in the Bible. Well, let me read to you what Isaiah says, chapter 55. It says, everyone that thirsteth, this is verse 1 now. Everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wow. Was he recommending people just go to the stores and steal things? Could be interpreted that way by the world. And then he was not a nice man. You know, aren't we supposed to speak kindly of other ministers and pastors and the Mormons and the Masons and the I mean, that's what I get letters. They say, Tex, you're so mean. You say bad things about Masons and Mormons and Catholics and Jews, and you say bad things about Buddhists and Hindus. But look at Isaiah. It says, talks about, in chapter 56, verses 9 through 12. It says, his watchmen are blind, they are all ignorant, they are all dumb dogs. Verse 11 says, yea, they are greedy dogs. Now that's not nice to call somebody a dumb and greedy dog, is it? Now let's look at Jesus and let's see other reasons why he was politically incorrect. Pitifully so. His parents fled to Egypt shortly after his birth. Now why did they do that? I mean, a prosecutor may look at that and say, what do they have to hide? And did you know that Jesus was not counted in the census that was being taken at the time? Why wasn't he counted in the census? What were they trying to hide? Well, of course, you know, politically incorrect. We know here that he's uneducated. He was from a backwoods region. Galilee, Nazareth. Uneducated. Being politically correct. I mean, every Baptist church today is all looking for a guy who's got a doctorate from a seminary. Jesus didn't have a doctorate. He was a son of a carpenter. He'd be unfit to even preach in a church today. His followers were unlearned. One of them was just a fisherman. A dumb old fisherman, some would say. And then look how prejudiced Jesus was. Did you know he chose for his disciples 12 men? Were the women there? Feminists of the world jump up in anger. This Jesus was politically incorrect. He chose 12 white men. One of them was an angry white man, too. One time it was reported that he cut off the ears of somebody. Angry white man. And you know what? Those 12 white men, they were all of the same ethnic group, the same religion.
If you're thirsty and dry, look to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
You've been listening to Pastor Tex Mars and Bible Home Church. Please join with us in worship next week as we continue to honor the remarkable Word of God.